Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Build Your Tribe with your host, Shalene Johnson.
Darren, thanks so much for being here again today. You have become the most popular guest, the most requested guest on my show, because I think you're making people feel a little safer.
That's what this is about. This is about just getting a little bit safer. So I appreciate you having me back on so we can get into the rest of this information.
Yeah. So let's just pick up right where we left off, if you're cool with that.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about iMessage and then VPN.
So your phone, we use it to do everything, right? We love to send messages back and forth with personal information. It just is a natural part of who we are. We are trusting as human beings.
Yes.
So how often do you look at your phone and you see green bubbles versus blue bubbles? Do you know the difference?
I do now.
You do now. So green are going to signify text messages. Blue are going to signify iMessages. Text messages are not encrypted. So never send sensitive information via text. When I was an agent, this is what we relied on. We wanted the criminals to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can ask, we can subpoena, or we can get this information.
So here's how I remembered it, to think of blue as meaning like in the clouds, and green, it was scattered on the ground and everyone could see it. So you want to be in the blue.
I like that. That's a good one.
Now, does Android have a similar feature so that they can tell?
Since I'm not an Android user, they have options too. You have Google Hangouts. You can communicate via messaging there. Again, I don't use Android, so I'm not as familiar with the platform, but you're just going to have to use Google. You know, look into this information yourself. So whatever it is that you own or use on a daily basis, you should be informed about how to use that. So often we want to just dive in and get going on it, but really look into what is the best way for me to do something. So whatever you're doing, look it up, learn it, and make sure you know why you're doing it.
And when you do that lookup, be sure to click the box that says information that's relative to and been posted in the last month, because things or last 7 days, because things literally change that quickly.
Right. Now, please, I'm going to just a little disclaimer here. I'm not on here saying that people out there should try to circumvent the law by iMessaging, because, you know, with a court order, we're not getting iMessages. It's just we're not able to at this point. So we're just saying this from your perspective. If you're going to send a credit card or a social to your husband or wife at the DMV, make sure you do that over iMessages and you're not just texting it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, text messages can be intercepted, that information we don't want out there. So iMessage is going to encrypt that. So use an encrypted technology when sending personal content. Now, inside of this, everything on your phone, it's only as safe as you keep it. So if there's no lock on your phone, anybody can jump in your phone, right? So use a passcode on your phone. So often I run into friends and people I meet who just don't use a passcode because they think it slows their process down of accessing their content. Again, that half a second that it takes to enter that code every time you use your phone is worth it compared to all the time and energy that you're going to have to devote to recovering from a hack.
If you can't hear me right now, it's because I'm hanging my head in shame. I feel so bad saying this, but you know, you live and you learn, right? And when I teach my classes, I would like steal people's phones while I was teaching and grab them and like take selfies in the middle of the workout. And there would be very few people who had a lock on. And I'm like, why do you guys lock your phone? Now I'm going to do that and say, y'all need to lock your phone.
So I'm glad you said that. And this happens all the time when we're teaching classes. People want to take pictures, right? So they hand their phone to somebody else and they unlock it first and then they hand it to them to take the picture. You don't have to do that. If you didn't know this, this is going to be a life-saving feature for you. So what you're going to do is if you look at your iPhone and in that right corner, bottom right corner, there's the camera icon. All you do is swipe up on that camera icon to access your camera. Now, any pictures that are taken, they can only swipe back to that first picture that's been taken. They're not getting access to your entire camera roll. They're not getting access to the rest of your phone. Mm-hmm. So next time you're handing your phone to somebody, lock it first, swipe up on the camera, then hand it to them.
Smart.
Protect yourself.
Huge. Now, simple. What is a VPN?
All right. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. And the reason we kind of tie it into phones is because how easy does your phone make it to connect to Wi-Fi?
So easy.
By default, it's always prompting you, right? Mm-hmm. Do you want to connect to this Wi-Fi network? Do you want to connect to this Wi-Fi network until you turn that off? So we always want to do that. So we're always connecting to free Wi-Fi. We're always seeking it out. How many of your friends are always looking for free Wi-Fi? You're looking for it. You want to save on your data because it's expensive, and the cellular providers kind of force us into this corner of having to find and seek out Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So Wi-Fi is wonderful, but at the same time, it can open you up to a huge security hole here.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're accessing public Wi-Fi, let's say you go to Starbucks, you log on to Starbucks. It is super, and when I say super, I mean super easy for people to intercept the traffic that is taking place on that unsecured network. So every one of those people who are in there on that free Wi-Fi might be fast, it might be super good, but what you're sending is open to prying eyes unless you take steps to protect it. So two ways. First way, always make sure you're visiting the secure version of a website. You can denote that by looking up into your bar there, and it's going to say HTTP colon, or it's going to say HTTPS. S signifies secure. That's the secure version of a website. So your traffic there is secured. So if you're going to log into Facebook on a public Wi-Fi network and you don't have a VPN, you want to make sure you're going to the secure version. So type in HTTPS to get to it that way.
Okay.
And you'll often see the lock symbol in the bar there too. That'll let you know, okay, this is secure.
Okay.
This little shortcut. So VPN though, what it's going to do, it secures your internet connection to ensure that all of the data you're sending and receiving is encrypted and secured from prying eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be aware of the networks you're connecting to. Is fast free Wi-Fi really the best network to get on and start sending your banking information?
So what do I do when I'm at the airport and I just get a text message like, hey, we need that file now and I've got to get online. What do I do?
What do? You use a VPN. And what I have found, I've tested a lot of them. I have landed on one called Cloak, getcloak.com. You can put that in the show notes for people.
Okay.
Yes, it's only for Mac and iOS devices right now. There are a lot of good options out there. But what I love about it is that it automatically does this for you. So you plug in your trusted network. So say your home network, your friend's network, your mother's, your dad's, whoever's. You can plug in trusted networks. And if you're not connected to a trusted network, it automatically triggers, it turns on, and you don't have to think about engaging it. Because again, we want to eliminate all the steps that are going to make it more difficult for us to do.
Okay, while we're getting used to this, right? And so this is an app I can put on my phone and on my desktop?
App. Yep.
Okay. And so while I'm getting used to it, is there like a symbol or something where I can see I'm actually on a VPN?
There is. So on your phone, if you look up by where that Wi-Fi symbol would be, it'll say VPN.
Oh, I see.
And you'll actually see right there, okay, I'm secured now. Now I can proceed and do the things that I need to do.
Okay.
Now on your computer, it's going to be up in your menu bar, most likely if you're on a Mac, and it's going to have whatever, it depends who you're using, but there'll be a very distinct icon. Maybe it's green or maybe it's blue versus black. Mm-hmm. So,
just to clarify, this is something we need to do when we're on public Wi-Fi. When we're at home, we should just be using our own private network, correct?
Correct. But it depends what you're doing. So a lot of people have these at home to access content that's blocked. So say, for example, you're in China, you want to watch Netflix, you might use a VPN to do that. Or if you're a hacker, you might want to hide the information from any prying eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or any law enforcement agencies or anything like that. So you can use this to basically protect yourself from the outside internet. What your motives are, I don't know.
But it might be a good idea for people who have not yet gone through this process to maybe do the VPN first, right? And then start changing all their passwords, et cetera. Is that something you would recommend?
They can. Again, first steps, we didn't talk about VPN first, right?
Right.
We talked about securing yourself via
right.
your passwords, your email, and all that first.
But let's just pretend someone's listened to 3 episodes and they still haven't done anything. Would you suggest that they, you know, if they're really worried about it?
It's only encrypting your traffic. It doesn't okay. change the fact that these people can go in and change your security questions and yeah. have access to your account.
Got it.
All it's doing is it protecting for when you enter those passwords. So here's a good example. This will help answer your question. You're at the airport. You mm-hmm. log on to the free Wi-Fi mm-hmm. and you're all set. You're smart. You've set up your 1Password. You have super secure password. Nobody knows your security questions because they're totally random. You're on it. You're good. But you're on this unsecured network. So mm-hmm. what do? Go up to that fancy 1Password login and you go to Facebook and you're not on the secure version of it and you have it enter for you. It plugs it in. Boom, 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 boom. Now, some smart dude over there with the laptop is sitting there and he just got your information.
Mm.
You went to all this trouble of using these good passwords, but because you didn't have it secured on that network,
yeah.
you opened yourself up to basically just giving it to him, like your grandma yeah. could do this. So what I want you to do is if you're on public Wi-Fi, first, look to make sure you're accessing the secure version of that website, HTTPS. Second, make sure that you're using a VPN.
Okay.
It's super simple. Like, it can be difficult. I used to use one that was more difficult. I had to actually go on there myself and turn it on and have it connect. And I got away from that once I found Cloak because it just makes it so simple.
I love it. It's a great app. And yeah. they also have a free trial for people who wanted to yeah. just, like, check it out at first. Do you know what it costs after the free trial?
I think it might be like $90 a year. And don't quote me on that. I really yeah, don't know. It's sure. such a necessary
like,
thing. That it's
like, seriously, you just don't even realize how valuable these things are until you need them, right? And then it's like it's a no-brainer to make sure that you're protected. You know, we don't leave our money in a box at the front door. And basically that's what we're doing if we're aware that these things are now no longer safe and we're not doing anything about it.
And the goal is not to make this harder on us, right? The goal is to make it easier. So you get things that automate this process. Same as if you're talking about email marketing, it's no different here. We're getting right. things like Cloak to automate the process of connecting to your VPN.
I love it. Okay, yeah. cool.
So now, transition here real quick.
Yeah, please.
VPN, we're talking about Wi-Fi, right? We're mm-hmm. talking about that public Wi-Fi. But here's where I need you to really think about your home.
Mm-hmm.
How do you protect your Wi-Fi at your house? Do you know? I mean, do you know?
I really
think about,
don't. I mean, we have passwords on it, but
you don't know because so many people, AT&T or Verizon or Cox or whoever, they show up to your house, they set it up, they give you the password, and you're good, right?
Right.
No. No. So the first thing we want to do is change that default network name, that SSID,
uh-huh.
and your password.
Okay.
Otherwise, anybody could come in. Let's say somebody did have access to your house. They could walk up right up to that modem, look at the side of it, write down the key, write down the name, and now they can use your internet as much as they want.
And people do that all the time.
All the time.
I've since learned in the last 7 days, like just going on all these forums and talking to different experts, it's crazy. And then when people do rename them, they rename them their own name.
Right. Please. Now, this is the next step. When you're naming it, don't name it your address. Don't name it your name and last name.
Yeah.
Name it something, anything. I mean, people get really funny and creative. They call it FBI surveillance or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Name it something that is not related to you. So just pick something random. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we want, and plus this does make it easier. Who wants to go and try to remember, I need to connect to network 987B5421.
Right.
Like, it's like, what? You have to give that out every time? You got to give somebody a hard code? So you're going to change that network name. Then you're going to change your password. Now, there are 3 different ways to set up your password here, generally, for the home user. When you're doing this, you're going to see a couple things here. You're going to see WEP, stands for Wired Equivalent Privacy. WEP, that's one way to secure your
okay.
password. You're going to see WPA, Wi-Fi Protected Access. And you're going to see WPA2. So WEP, WPA, WPA2.
Okay.
Never use WEP. Now,
okay.
I'm not going to get into all the technicalities here. I'm just going to make this easy for you, give you exactly what you need to know.
Okay.
it's very insecure. Even in 2005, the FBI gave a public demonstration where they actually cracked this in minutes using software available to everybody. So I really liked how to geek put it. They said WEP security level is so low, it's about as effective as a chain link fence. Ooh. The fence exists simply to say, hey, this is my property.
Wow.
But anyone who wants in can just climb right over. I like the way they phrase that.
Yeah,
I always
great
love
analogy.
That stuff down. But next, WPA. It's going to be more secure than WEP. So we're never using WEP. WPA is more secure, so if that's an option, choose that. Mm-hmm. But an even better option is going to be WPA2. WPA2.
WPA2. Did everybody write that down?
Write that down. Now, you're going to see other acronyms and stuff, but if you happen to see WPA2 plus AES, this is going to be your most secure. AES, Advanced Encryption Standard. So WPA2 plus AES, those combined will basically keep you the most secure on a home network.
Good to know.
Yeah. So there are many different routers out there. There are great, like thewirecutter.com. They provide great write-ups. They do all this research for you. They can tell you the best router, all this stuff. If you're a Mac user, you may want to look into the Airport Extreme or Time Capsule if you want the wireless backup functionality. But just make sure whatever router you're using, you choose WPA2 plus AES for the encryption.
And so for those people who have AT&T or whatever their provider is of their high-speed internet service, are you suggesting then that they not use the router that was provided to them, that they actually go and buy a better one?
I am.
Okay.
I am. So
what do they run-ish?
It really depends. Here, I'm going to actually pull it up while we're speaking right here on the one that I recommend and use. I'm going to tell you what it's going for. Looks like about $90 right now on Amazon. Yeah, let me double check. Yeah, $90 on Amazon. It's the Motorola SB6141. Now, what you don't realize probably is that you are renting your modem from your cable company. Mm-hmm. They're charging you like $10 a month for that. Why? Don't do that. Go spend the money yourself. Plug this in. Hook it up. Super simple to do. It's going to increase your speeds likely. It's a DOCSIS 3 modem, which means it's capable of better transfer speeds. We'll just put it like that. We're not going to get too technical here.
Okay.
So basically, all the way around, it's better. So I would recommend that. That way, you're not paying to your cable company. There's no reason to. You might as well use your own.
Yeah. There's this crappy anyways.
Yeah. So look at it, too. Plus, it might not support some of these newer secure standards if you're using one from years ago, right? If you've had the same one since 2005.
Oh, yeah.
Really look at this. I mean, how is it secured right now? Are you using maybe WEP or somebody could basically just come in and get in?
And where can people see that so they know?
So, gets a little more complicated for non-airport users.
Okay, let's talk about this. It's my mom, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, WEP, what router? So is there someone she can call? Is there someone are there services that can come over and help her with her router? Is this something she's going to need to do herself?
No. So what's good, when you purchase that new modem, it's going to have all of this laid out on a simple fold out. You just pull it up. It's going to walk you through how to do each one of these things.
Okay.
And it's going to be very clear, any of these new ones.
Okay,
so
cool.
Typically what you do is you'll go to an IP address like 192, it could be 192.168.1.25 something.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually get into the control panel there. And that's where you change these things. They're going to be very evident. You'll see them clearly. You can choose WEP, WPA, WPA2. Makes it very simple. But if you want to make it even more simple, it really is a lot easier, I find, with people who don't have that familiarity with computers to use something like the Apple Airport. I really recommend that one, the Airport Extreme or the Timecast, just because it's so easy. You can set it up from your phone.
Yeah.
You can set it up from your computer, your tablet. It really is simple, and it is a very good router. Sure, for the techie person, there are other options out there, but for somebody who just wants a solid router, solid modem, or solid router, I really recommend the Airport Extreme.
Wow. This is great. I mean, it feels overwhelming, and that's why I wanted to break this into pieces so that people knew what to do first, like what is at a basic level, at least maybe you have a cheap lock on your front door, and that each lesson that you've provided for us, we provide ourselves a little bit more security, I guess. And as you say, you've got to manage your expectations and know that this stuff changes regularly. And there's no guarantee, but you shouldn't make it easy.
Correct.
Is there any last piece of advice that can help people to shift their thinking about this? Because I can speak on behalf of those people who haven't done this. They're thinking to themselves, oh, this sounds so complicated and so it's going to take so long. And do I really need to do this?
And yes.
They just do.
You really do. I mean, if you want to take steps that are going to set you up for the likelihood of success and not having to worry about going through something that you just went through, it really doesn't take much time. Yeah. It doesn't take a huge monetary investment. We're talking very simple things that you can implement on a Sunday. I mean, put on that Full House rerun and just go for it. You can marathon it all day and get this all taken care of in one day. I mean, it's not a lot, you know, it really isn't. But there are a couple other things, because we'd like to talk about online security and all this stuff. But with regard specifically to your online, like shopping, banking, mm-hmm. et cetera, yeah. when you're actually going to purchase these things from Amazon and all
right.
this stuff.
Right.
What are we going to do first? We're going to look for that secured version of the website, right?
Yes.
We know that now. So we're going to do that. We're going to use a browser like Safari or Chrome or Firefox with the browser extensions from, say, 1Password to go ahead and plug in that information for us.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really want you to do is I want you to use a credit card when you're purchasing this. I know I'm crazy, right? Suggesting use credit cards.
Yeah.
We hear that they're just terrible things. But watching someone check out with a debit card really makes me cringe.
Oh.
And there's so many reasons to use credit cards over debit cards. But from a security standpoint, someone can drain your account
yeah.
almost instantly if it's a debit card. Whereas a credit card company, they'll typically have your back on those fraudulent charges, right? So when you're shopping online, and you can put this into 1Password to plug automatically for you,
mm-hmm.
or whether you're shopping in person, use that credit card just in case if somebody gets that number, you're going to be protected on the fraudulent side and hopefully be reimbursed there, as opposed to, oh shoot, my account is drained.
Yeah.
And one other thing, with the advent of new technology, we're now getting the option to pay with our phones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So something like Apple Pay, I strongly encourage you to go ahead, plug in your cards to Apple Pay and use that where possible.
Okay, that makes me really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that's safer than me just actually pulling out my credit card and entering it each time?
It sure is.
Is really that why?
Is. Yeah, and that's really why. Not only is it super convenient, right? But it is safer. So what it's doing is it's giving them a temporary number that is not your actual card.
Mm.
So that merchant doesn't actually receive your card. You know, I find it funny.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when you go overseas, for example, have you noticed that you'll be sitting there and you've been eating a great meal and they come at the end and you go to hand them their card and they bring the machine to you? They don't take your card somewhere else where they could then, you know, write it down or scan it or have that information. They actually bring it to you for safety reasons.
Ah.
I don't know why we don't do this here,
yeah.
but we don't. And so you want to use a credit card especially. But Apple Pay is a great service because it protects your actual number from getting out there.
That's amazing.
Which is nice. And again, you're using your thumbprint there to, boom, I'm going to confirm that this is a good transaction. I'm going to buy it. Thumbprint, you're at Whole Foods. You just bought your smoothie and you're on your way.
Wow. Okay.
Very simple.
Now I understand it. And that's what this is about. Like people, if you understand how all of this works, it makes it much easier to make the right decision to protect yourself. And having said that, you know, we all think, oh, you know, what's the likelihood I'm going to be hacked? It's not about being hacked. It's even just having your information released. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of federal employees just last week because of the organization that they work for. If their information wasn't secured, it's all out there now. So who's to say that you, as a customer of Wells Fargo or the grocery store that you go to or anything for that matter, who's to say that that organization, that corporation, isn't to be a victim or a target? And by proxy, all of your information gets released, or at least some of your information. That's just more motivation for people to take the time, slow down so that you can safely speed up.
And that's so common. Think about that, how common
yeah.
that is today. We hear about it all the time, whether it's Neiman Marcus or Target or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Some corporation is getting hacked all the time.
And
so,
hospitals like crazy.
Yeah. So your information is going to be out there. I want you to accept that. So everybody right now, take a deep breath and go, okay, my information is out there already somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just understand that. So what we're doing is we're protecting ourselves on our end as best we can. We're going to choose what information we give out as best we can, and we're going to choose how to keep people out as best we can. Mm-hmm. Again, there are going to be holes that we do not know about. Those bug patches are going to come. There are going to be security things that we have no idea about. They get discovered by the hackers that penetrate these areas. So we're going to learn. We're going to do our best. We're not going to freak out and get overwhelmed and say, you know what, I'm not going to do any of it because it's just too intimidating to me. One thing at a time, you're going to get it secured. You're going to go through this. And I mean, think about it like this. If it seems too simple, it's not. Mm. If it seems redundant, it's not. Even going to the point of getting a paper shredder and shredding things with your personal information on it. Those credit card offers, all that stuff. Shred that. We can even put a link in the show notes to the shredder I recommend because people dumpster dive, right? Oh, your information gets out there. So let's shred that personal information before we put it in the trash can where somebody else go, you know what? Oh, I do want this credit card. I'm going to pretend to be this person.
And that doesn't mean that they're like outside your home dumpster diving. They're doing it like at the dump.
Right. But at work, if you say you brought your personal mail to work, you're like, okay, cool. This is junk. And then you put it outside. Now you're at a corporation, maybe there is incentive to go through that. They're finding your information. Again, if we make it easy, they're going to just pounce. Yeah. So let's don't make it easy. Okay. At least take the steps to make this a little bit more difficult, to stay a little bit more secure, and do the best that we can. In the end, that's all we can do. Like I said on the last podcast, these guys are very smart. They're brilliant at what they do. They are artists in their craft. Mm-hmm. They've mastered this specific craft just like we aspire to master ours. Mm-hmm. And we have to respect their ability, as hard as it can be sometimes for the victims, we have to respect that this exists. So we got to do our best to respect this too.
Dude, you are the man. I can't thank you enough on behalf of my lifers. You're really changing the way people think and you're making this simple for us to understand how to do it. It seemed overwhelming to so many of us. And I've just received countless messages from people who said, I finally have done it because I heard Darren explain it, walk us through it. So I can't thank you enough.
Well, I thank you too, because we've been discussing about this whole thing. We realize the potential here, and we are working on something for you guys to help ease this process, to make it a little bit simpler. So stay tuned to Shalene's show. She will announce any new information here, but we're going to have some stuff to help you walk through this and not freak out.
Very cool.
That you realize you can do this.
That's awesome. And Darren, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can I ask if maybe we could do a webinar together where, I mean, just like, especially those people are getting used to, because I know myself, I'm like, am I doing this right? Even once I had my password manager set up, like maybe we could do a webinar to show people like, this is how you go on your computer. This is, and we can actually like screencast from a phone so people can see how you're, like what they're supposed to see and what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea. We should totally do it.
Okay, awesome. So stay tuned, lifers, because I will be announcing that as soon as we can get it scheduled. And there's nothing better than like a hands-on tutorial so that you can do it right along with us. So make sure you have your password manager installed. You've researched them yourself. You know, that's your decision to make. Of course, Darren is a research junkie, and you recommend 1Password?
That's the one I recommend.
Yeah. But do your research, you know, you don't take our word for it. But just make sure you have one in place and we'll get you the information on that upcoming webinar so that you can feel just a little bit more protected. Darren, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This episode has been sponsored by CourageousConfidenceClub.com. It's a club that I've created specifically to help people who struggle with confidence and insecurities and social settings and just standing up for themselves, being yourself and feeling good about it. All of us could benefit from having more confidence. I'd love for you to just experience a taste of it. So please be my guest by going to ShaleneJohnson.com/confidence tips. Now, if you don't feel like writing that web address down or remembering to go there later, all you have to do is, while you're listening from your phone, send me a text message. The number is 949-565-4337, and that is for U.S. residents. Then just send me the word confidence, and I will send you access to this video. this video will help you to eliminate self-doubt and just feel more confident in any situation, whether it's work or personal or just your social interactions. Every one of us can benefit from having more confidence. There you'll submit your email address and I will immediately send to your inbox my latest training video, where I teach you step by step how to feel more confident in just about any social setting. I think you'll find this incredibly useful, whether it's business or personal or just in your everyday interactions. Confidence is something that makes life easier. It helps you to raise more confident, self-efficient children. It allows us to speak our mind, to stand up for ourselves, to do the things that otherwise we are paralyzed by fear. And we just allow our own thoughts to stop us. By learning how to overcome self-doubt and fear of success, you can become that confident person that others are attracted to. The person you want to be, the person you deserve to be, the person you know is inside of you. So thank you for checking out my free tools by going to shaleenjohnson.com/confidence tips.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.